We'd like to read this morning from Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 6. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. I know that these are very familiar words to you, but there's one verse in particular that God has put very strongly on my heart. I ask all of you to pray that God will bless us to hear and understand a message from the Lord from Matthew chapter 18. Beginning with the first verse, Word of God says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now the kingdom of heaven, of course, is defined as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what they had all been preaching about. John the Baptist began preaching and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The 12 apostles, all the preachers in the New Testament, every single preacher in the New Testament was preaching about the kingdom of heaven. Now the disciples who had been preaching and teaching about the kingdom of heaven, they come to Jesus and they said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They were full of pride. They were full of arrogancy. They probably had been arguing about which one of them was the best disciple of Jesus. And so they decided they would go to Jesus and just ask him, "Which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Can you imagine disciples of Jesus getting full of pride like that? Isn't that amazing? Well, I know some of you are full of pride sometimes. And you have a preacher that sometimes gets full of pride. And I want all of us to remember that pride, throughout the pages of God's Word, pride is never used in a positive way. Scripture says very plainly that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Doesn't matter if it's a nation. When a nation gets full of vain pride, God will bring that nation down. It doesn't matter if it's a church. Church gets full of pride, God will bring that church down. An individual, a family, whoever, wherever we get lifted up in vain pride, God will bring us down. Probably most of us have experienced a lot of times that we maybe didn't even realize how full of pride we were. And then we began to be brought down by God, and we saw and realized how much pride that there was in us. Let me encourage every parent here that as God blesses you to raise children, or God blesses you to have children that are smart, or they're studying and you're studying with them and you're working with them and they're being successful and they're getting honors and all of this. Let me tell you, you better be careful about bragging about your children. You need to be thankful. You need to be thankful. This idea of running around bragging about your children will lead you to a lot of heartaches. When you think you know better about how to raise children than anybody else, you're headed for a lot of heartaches in your life. Pride will destroy us. And so it is that the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted..." Now, to these disciples of Jesus, now they were followers of Jesus. Did they need to be converted? To convert, see, there's a difference in being born again and being converted. We're born again one time in our lives. The people of God, as they recognize and realize through the reading and studying and preaching of God's Word, as they realize that they're going in a wrong direction, they need to be converted. And so people go to one another. We're supposed to be helping one another to convert one another, to change the direction that they're going in. And Jesus said to his disciples, after he sat that little child in their midst, he said to his disciples, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, they thought they were already in the kingdom of heaven. They thought they were probably the greatest people in the kingdom of heaven. He said, "Unless you're converted, you won't even enter the kingdom." They were not in the kingdom of heaven right here. I'm not saying they were not redeemed children of God, but they were not in the kingdom of heaven. He said, "Unless you're changed, unless you're converted, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." He says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child." See, he sat that child in there to teach them about humility. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus taught that repeatedly in the scriptures, that it's the humble that are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, sometimes when a person's humble, when you humble yourself, the devil will get you proud that you're humble. Now, that's amazing, but I've seen it happen in my life and other lives, people's lives sometimes, that people get proud about how humble they are. They got it all mixed up. So Jesus says this. He says, if you humble yourself as this little child, you're the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's the first lesson. There are actually, I think, three main lessons that are taught in these six verses. The first lesson is about humility. And then he teaches the second lesson in verse 5. He says, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. So you see, first he said, now you need to be like this little child. And then he takes that same child and he says, now whoever receives such a little child as this receives me. Certainly all of us want to receive Christ. We ought to want to receive Christ. But if we're not receiving little ones, we're not receiving Christ. If we are receiving little ones, then we're receiving Christ. Third lesson is in verse 6. He says, but whoso shall, now see in verse 5, he says, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name. The opposite of that he gives in verse 6. He says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Can you imagine drowning? That's one of the worst things. Burning and drowning are two things that I think about the worst deaths that anybody could ever experience. And he says, if you offend one of these little ones, doesn't say you have to offend all the little ones. He says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's a horrible judgment. That's the judgment God says. If you offend one of these little ones, it would be better for you to be cast out into the sea with a millstone. If you take that huge rock, that round millstone, and you tie that around your neck and cast somebody into the sea, there's no way they can swim. There's no way they can survive. They're going to drown in the sea. And Jesus says it would be better for you to be drowned in the sea with a millstone around your neck than for you to offend one of these little ones. Think about that. Now, little ones can mean little children, literally. I believe that with all of my heart. I think everybody here ought to be careful about how you treat children. I think that's a basic lesson in this passage of Scripture, is that little children are important. But that little children in this passage of Scripture is not limited to babies or little children that we sometimes think about. It also would be applicable to any of the saints of God, any of the little children of God. Doesn't matter whether they're black or white, rich or poor. Doesn't matter what their condition is. Doesn't matter how much education or lack thereof they have. Doesn't matter how much wisdom or lack thereof they have. Doesn't matter how much understanding of Scripture they have or lack of understanding of Scripture. It does not matter how low they are, doesn't matter how little they are in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of men, it would be better that a millstone were hanged about your neck and you be cast into the sea than for you to offend one of these little ones. I was in a restaurant. We had our 47th wedding anniversary this week, and we went to a restaurant Thursday. And I wanted to get up and fight when I listened to how they were talking to those waitresses. It made me so mad. I lose my temper occasionally, and I was angry. Now, you can call it a righteous anger if you want to. I don't think it was just a righteous anger. I was angry beyond a righteous anger. I hate to hear people belittle and call the manager out and cause all kinds of trouble for those people that are working so hard. There are a lot of little ones in this world. It doesn't matter if they're digging ditches. It doesn't matter if they're a janitor. It doesn't matter if they're a maid. It doesn't matter what a person's position is. You better be careful about offending little ones and treating them like they're less than human beings. You better be careful about having so much pride that you think you're better than they are. Jesus said to be better for a millstone to be hanged about your neck and you be cast into the sea. I want you to notice, and this is one of the most amazing things. Every week I'm amazed at the Word of God. Every week I say, wow, I can't believe that this has been in the Bible all the time and I never noticed it. We're in Matthew chapter 18. Let's suppose you had been there and you heard what Jesus said. Do you think he pretty well raked them over the coals? Did he give them some stern rebuke in the words that he spoke here in Matthew chapter 18? Brother Andy, if I had rebuked you that harshly, if I had spoken to you that harshly, you think you would remember it tomorrow? You'd remember it for at least a week? Now listen, turn one page in your Bible. This is what I was wowing this week. One page in your Bible. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Good gracious. He just told them they better not offend one of these little ones. And now they're bringing children to Jesus for him to pray for them and lay his hands on them, and the disciples rebuke them. We're slow learners, brethren. We are slow learners. We're no better than these people are. Sometimes we're taught something. Sometimes we hear the Word of God. We can even quote the Scriptures. But you know that we'll leave the house of God and do opposite of what we know that we ought to do. That's how slow learners we are. That's the reason, I think, one of the many reasons that I need to hear something over and over. I need to be reminded. Tell you what it's done to me. It's made me be more careful this week about how little ones are treated. It's made me be more careful, not just about little children. Understand, every day, if you're out in the community, you're going to be coming in contact with a lot of little ones, and you better be careful about how you treat them, because it's better for a millstone to be hanged about your neck and you be cast into the sea, drowned in the sea, than to offend one of those little ones. Did these disciples turn around right after this and offend little ones? So Jesus then said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, but Jesus said, you know what I would have done? I'd have probably gotten a millstone, thrown it on top of them. I'd have stuck the head underwater at least for a little while and said, now listen, I talked to you yesterday about this. If your children, if you tell them something this clearly and this emphatically one day, and the next day they do exactly what you talked to them about, I think that you would be very concerned and probably take action. Here's the mercy and grace of Jesus. Here's what Jesus did. Verse 14 says, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He just again reiterates the important truth that little children often are in the kingdom of heaven when adults, and I mean literally, little children are often in the kingdom of heaven far more than adults are. I think a lot of little children are in the kingdom of heaven most of the time. Probably more often than we parents and grandparents are in the kingdom of heaven. Little children are important to God. They better be important to us. We better be careful about offending one of these little ones that believe in him. Verse 15, after he said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Then he said, the scripture says, and he laid his hands on them and departed thence. He laid his hands on those children. Jesus. You know, we used to sing that song, Jesus loves the little children. That has some errors in it, but Jesus does love children. And we better be careful about how we treat children. Now, I want us to go back to Matthew 18 just a moment. Look at Matthew 18, verses 5 and 6. Look at the contrast between Matthew 18, verses 5 and 6. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Did everybody receive Jesus when he came into this world? I'm talking about when he was born of the Virgin Mary. Did everybody receive him? Were there some that did receive him? Were there some that did not receive him? And so Jesus, by his life, by his experience, by him living in this world, he knew all about some people receiving him and some people not receiving him. He knew all about some people loving him and some people who offended him and rebuked him and hated him. He knew all about that. You've never been hated. You've never been offended. You've never been hurt that Jesus hasn't already been hurt worse in that way than you have. He already went through it. That's the reason he warns us about receiving them, the importance of receiving little ones and the seriousness of offending little ones. Now, I want you to notice just a couple of scriptures that talk about how Jesus experienced it himself. Turn to John chapter 1. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 1, and we read about Jesus coming into the world, and he came to the Jews. And I'm not picking on Jews because I think the Gentiles today, I think we're in at least as bad a condition as the Jews were 2,000 years ago when they rejected Christ. I think we have, as a nation in America, and we as Gentiles, I think we have rejected Christ just as much as the Jews did 2,000 years ago. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God says in John 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and that own has reference, I think, primarily to the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, what's the lesson? And the main thing we're going to be looking at is receiving little ones, loving little ones, being kind to little ones, helping little ones. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Listen, when he was even before he was born into this world, and he was in the womb of his mother, and they went to that inn, did that inn receive him? No, they didn't receive him in the inn. There was no room for him in the inn. There was no room for Jesus in the lives of most of the people that he came to. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They despised him, they hated him, they rejected him because they were looking for a kingdom that was different than the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. They'd heard all the Old Testament prophets talk about when the Messiah came, he's going to set up a kingdom. And they talked about how great that kingdom was going to be. It was going to be greater than any of the kingdoms of the world. There was going to be a new Jerusalem. And they didn't see anything that they thought was going to be the kingdom of heaven. They didn't see Jesus as being the Messiah. They wanted riches. They wanted gold. They wanted silver. They wanted power. They wanted in Jerusalem for them to set up a kingdom where they would rule the earth. And the apostles even wanted to be the chief rulers under Christ in the temple, ruling the world. That's what they thought was going to happen. And Jesus destroyed that myth. That misunderstanding that was in their minds. He brought it all crumbling down. And he said, no, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not a material kingdom. My kingdom is not riches and material wealth. My kingdom is far superior to anything like that. My king is better than riches. My kingdom is better than gold. My kingdom is something that only those who are like little children can enter into. Whoso receiveth a little child... What does Jesus say? Whosoever receives a little child receiveth me. He came into his own. Literally, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But has he come to you? Did you know Jesus came to you quite a few times last week? Jesus came to you quite a few times this past week. You didn't recognize him. You didn't know he was there. But in a spiritual sense, you came in contact with Jesus. Every time you came in contact with many of his children that believe in him, you came in contact with Jesus. And as you came in contact with him, as he was in those little children, as he was in those poor and lame and sick and the elderly and all the different people that are little in the eyes of this world, as you came in contact with all of them, you either received him, Jesus, because if you receive them, you receive Christ, or you rejected him by ignoring those that are little in the eyes of the world. We need to pray, God, help us. Help us to be careful about how we treat other people. And let me hasten to say, this is not a quote from Scripture, but it's a truth from God's Word. Charity begins at home. Everybody listening to me? Everybody look at me just a minute. Charity begins at home. And if you offend one of those little ones at home that believes in Him, if you offend your wife, and brethren, we'll talk more about offending later, but I just want you to know you better be careful about how you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, because you're treating Jesus. However you treat them, that's the way you're treating Jesus. Whoso receiveth one of these little ones receives me. Whosoever offends one of these little ones, you're offending Christ. Now, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him. Isn't that wonderful? There were some who received him. See, the first statement, it kind of brings us down and causes us to be discouraged and despondent and depressed as we think about he came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, were there those that did receive him? Were there those as he would go from city to city? Were there some cities he would go into where they would hate him and demand him, get out of our city? And in fact, they would try to kill him in their city. But then he would go to other cities, and those cities would welcome him, and they would put down things to welcome him in the city, and they would do everything they could. And then he would go to houses, and some people would not want him to come in their house, and other people would say, come in and stay with me. They would compel him to come in. They received him, you see. And let me also encourage you to take people into your house, because if you don't take people into your house, you can come up with all the excuses you want to, but if you're not taking anybody into your house, you're not having people in your home, if you're not receiving people into your home, you're doing wrong. Don't come up with excuses about why you can't do it. You study God's Word and you'll find that you're supposed to be taking people into your home. You're supposed to be feeding them in your home. You're supposed to be loving them in your home. You're supposed to be hospitable. God gave you that home. Maybe you don't need that home. Maybe God needs to take that home away from you if you can't use that home to encourage and help little ones. If you can't bring them into your home, maybe God will just take that home away so you don't have to be committing that sin by not receiving them into your home. We need to be kind to people. We need to be receiving them. There were people who received Jesus, and to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In a manifest sense, they became sons of God. He gave them power. Why did they get that power? Now, they were already born again. They weren't born again by the will of man or the will of the flesh. They were born again by the Spirit of God. But why were they given that power to become the sons of God? Because they received him. That's the only ones that he gave power to become the sons of God. You want power in your life? You want the power of God in your life? Then you need to receive these little ones. Because that's the only way you can receive him, is to receive those little ones. John chapter 6, turn there very quickly. I just want you to know Jesus knew all about people receiving him, and he knew about people rejecting him. John chapter 6, starting with verse 66, the Word of God says in John chapter 6, 66 through 69, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. How would you feel if you had a lot of people that loved you and followed you and were with you and had promised they'd be with you till they died, and then they walked away from you and they turned against you and walked no more with you? Did these people receive him, or did they offend him and reject him? These people offended him and rejected him. And then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter and the apostles, they testified and they declared, you are the only hope we have. You're the only one we're going to follow. They proved their allegiance to Jesus. Even though he was despised by men, he was loved by some of his people. So Jesus knew all about being despised, rejected, abandoned, hated, persecuted. He knew all about that, but he also knew about some few that would receive him. Now, go with me very quickly to Matthew chapter 2 and 10. I want us to spend a few minutes looking at I want us to think about the text in Matthew 18, which says, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. I want us to think about that. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40. Look carefully. We want to just concentrate on receiving Christ. We want to concentrate on receiving a little child. And that's the way we help people. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40. The Word of God says, Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus says to his apostles, as he's sending out these preachers, he says, whoever receives you. Now he told them, you'll go to some cities and they won't receive you. They won't listen to you. You'll go to some houses and they won't have anything to do with you. He said, you just shake the dust off your feet. Get out of that house. Get out of that city if they won't receive you. But when you go to places and they do receive you, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Who is that? Who is Jesus talking about when he says in the last phrase, you receive not only me, but you receive him that sent me? Who is he talking about? God the Father. He says, now look at this. By receiving one of his servants, you receive Christ. And you not only receive Christ, you receive the Father and the Son by receiving his servants. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I ought to be in somebody's home every day. I say that facetiously, and let me say this just carefully. It's hard for a pastor to ever emphasize to a congregation the way that a pastor should be treated. And I'm not talking about feeding the preacher. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard for a preacher to ever say that. Do you know why it's hard for a preacher to ever tell you what God's Word says about the way you're supposed to treat your pastor and preachers? Do you know why it's very hard for a preacher to ever say that? I don't think I've ever preached that. I don't think I've ever taught that. And I thought, you know, that's wrong. It's wrong for you not to know how you're supposed to treat a preacher. It's wrong for you not to know how you're to respect a preacher. It's wrong for you not to highly esteem those that preach the Word of God. It's wrong for you not to know that those that preach and teach the Word of God and try to live right, they're worthy of double honor. It's wrong for you not to know all those things, okay? It's wrong for you not to receive me. I'll soon be gone, but I want you to receive the next preacher. This is not for self-gratification. This is because you need to know the importance of respecting a man of God. He that receiveth you, those that are out preaching and teaching the Word of God, are the primary ones under consideration, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet. By the way, you can think that's talking about a name, in the name of a prophet. You can think about Elijah or some of the other prophets if you want to. But there's a prophet greater than those prophets. Whosoever receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet. Who is probably Jesus talking about when he says in the name of a prophet? He's probably not talking about Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. He's talking about the greatest prophet of all. Jesus is called in the scriptures a prophet. And whosoever receiveth a prophet, am I a prophet? Let me ask you that question. Am I a prophet? You know what a prophet does? A prophet tells what's going to happen in the future. Now, if I get up in here and I tell you that on October the 19th, this world is coming to an end, you're not to believe or receive that. Do you understand? Because I don't have any scriptural authority to say the Word of God's going, the world's going to come to an end on October the 19th. However, if I tell you that if you don't receive one in the name of Christ, if you offend one in the name of Christ, it's better for a millstone to be hanged about your neck and you be cast in the sea. You better believe that, because that's a prophecy based on what the great prophet said. The prophet that we serve is not Muhammad or Buddha or some other man like that or some other false god. We're talking about the true God, Jesus Christ. He is the prophet. He's the only true prophet. He's the only true and living God. And he is our prophet. And he has told us in his word, if you do certain things, you get these blessings. And if you do certain things, you get this cursings. Now, that's prophesying. I've told families before, I said, you're headed for trouble in your life. You know why? Because all the characteristics of a family that's destroyed is in that family. And unless we repent, we'll be destroyed. That's prophesying. Verse 41, we're in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet, I think he's primarily talking about in the name of Jesus, shall receive a prophet's reward. Did you know that God rewards his people according to their works? Did you know that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Does God reward his people? Does a prophet get a great reward? Did you know that I honestly believe I'm the most blessed human being on the face of the earth? You may feel the same way about you, but I know that the Lord's been good to me. The Lord's been very good to me. One of the greatest blessings I've ever had in my life, other than my wife and my children, you, this church, a church that has responded, for the most part, a church that has responded in obedience to God's holy word. Oh, how blessed I am. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet. You can get a prophet's reward. See, a prophet gets a great reward, doesn't he? But you can get a prophet's reward. How? By receiving a prophet in the name of the prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. Now, who is that in the name of a righteous man? That name of righteous man is who? That's Jesus Christ. He shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these, what? Little ones. Are we just talking about little children? Are y'all going to see some little ones this coming week? Whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You're going to have multitudes of opportunities this coming week to receive little ones. God's going to put little ones in your path all during the week. By the way, you're going to go home with some little ones today. Receive those little ones. Love those little ones. Be kind to those little ones. The scripture said in Matthew 25, 34 through 40, he says, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye what? Ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered? You know, if I'd been one of them, I don't think I'd have said that. I'd have said, thank you, Jesus, and I'd run right on in. But these men were so honest and so pure and holy that they said, now, wait a minute, Lord, I can't go in. I don't remember ever doing that to you. When did we ever do anything like that for you? And he says, the king answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Whether it be good, and that's what he's described in Matthew 25, 34 through 40, being good. Then he said to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was sick, and ye visited me not. He speaks to them the same way. They said, Lord, when did we ever not take care of you? He said, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye did it not unto me. Are little ones important to God? All these dear people from the nursing home, all the world may say they're just little ones. All these little children in the church. Poor people. A man that went from a surveyor, man that had a great job, man that has a tremendous amount of intelligence. What do you do now? He's a lunchroom lady. Let me tell you something, brethren. Let me tell you something. That lunchroom lady deserves a tremendous amount of respect. In fact, I don't know that he doesn't deserve more respect than every man in this building. Because instead of him sitting at home, he's out doing the best he can, working every day and night, trying his best to earn what he can. Do you understand? The world may say, what a lowly job. He's a man of God. He's not perfect. He's not perfect. And I tell you this, let me say this in closing. Who was David's best friend? Well, one of the children tell me, who was David's best friend? King David in the Bible, before he was king and after he was king, who was his best friend? Jonathan. Jonathan was his best friend. Now, do you remember after Jonathan was dead, do you remember what David wanted to do? David wanted to honor some descendant of Jonathan. Isn't that right? Am I thinking correctly? Go find me a descendant of Jonathan. I want to find a descendant of Jonathan. I want to do something for him. And they found, what is his name, Mephibosheth? Lame man. Lowly, little guy. Nobody else wanted him in their house. You know what David said? He said, for Jonathan's sake, you bring Mephibosheth to my house. You set him at the king's table, and he'll be taken care of the rest of his life. I thought about this week when I was thinking about that. I thought about Sister Queen. And here we have one of the little ones from Sister Queen, the lunch lady. He's worthy of some honor. I pray that God will help us all to love little ones, to respect them. Don't be full of pride. Don't look down on them. Do something to help little ones this coming week. And for Christ's sake, don't offend one of these little ones. Don't you personally offend them. Now, the Word of God will sometimes offend. That's totally different. But don't you personally offend one of these little ones. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.